I'm Rob Farach. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, now that many businesses have the setup in place to have employees work from home, will it continue? We'll explore the workplaces of the future. Now, the first hearing into the January 6th attacks on the U.S. Capitol is scheduled to start next week, but who's going to be on the committee? Earlier today, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi rejected two of the Republicans picked to serve on that committee. After that, House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy said all five of his Republican selections would not participate. It's the week in Washington. We'll catch up on that and more. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you planning to follow these hearings in Congress investigating January 6th? Did you want to see Republicans participate in the hearings? Do you think Republicans should be able to pick who in their party participates? Or do you agree with the Speaker's decision to block a couple of them? You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. Daniel Lipman covers the White House and Washington for Politico. Daniel, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I just gave a whirlwind tour of today. Daniel, can you flesh it out a little bit for us? What is going on with this committee set up to investigate January 6th?
So this committee looks like it's going to be without those Republican appointees by Kevin McCarthy, if he stands hard towards his stand, saying that he doesn't want, you know, if it's that it's not up to Pelosi to reject the Republican nominees for this committee. And so I think it will still be bipartisan if it happens, because Liz Cheney was in the Democratic group. But given that she is kind of persona non grata in House Republican circles, it's going to be pretty partisan. I think, you know, Pelosi rejected Jim Banks and Jim Jordan for this. She did not like that they had rejected the outcome of the election, and that, you know, she thought that they were not suited well to handle this commission's duties.
She had approved another of the five who had voted against certifying the elections, but I guess hadn't been as outspoken. Did she talk more about why she selected or rejected, I should say, Jordan and Banks in particular?
She said that the unprecedented nature of January 6th demands this unprecedented decision, because, you know, she thinks that it is basically it's in bad faith that Jim Jordan would have been put on this committee and Jim Banks as well, because that they were not picked to for their investigative powers. They were picked to be Republican basically warriors on this committee and to protect Republicans from the impact of whatever the committee found. And so she is saying that McCarthy is free to pick anyone who is not there just for just to be, you know, kind of protectors of Republicans. She wants people who are there for the right reasons.
And then Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, Republican, said all or none. I want to give a listen to him talking about that in a press conference today.
I may object to the people that she put on the committee, but I respect her right to do it, just as every leader has done before. Destroy an institution for your own political gain. America expects more and deserves more.
Now, we've seen Republicans voting against having this bipartisan committee in the first place, Daniel, when it was created. Is this going to be part of an effort now to try to portray this committee? I mean, Republicans are already saying this, to portray this committee as a partisan and biased committee. Is that sort of the political play from Republicans here?
Yeah, I think that's the talking points that they're going to reiterate and hit time and time again. They want to make their recommendations and their findings basically toxic to the American people, and say that this is just a way to win, to keep Democratic seats and Democratic control of the House of Representatives and the Senate next year in the midterm elections, because it's very possible that this committee's report, the results of this committee, will only be released late next year before the elections. And so they're going to say that this is a way for Democrats to try to beat back the usual way, which is that the ruling party, the majority party, loses seats or loses a House of Congress during a midterm election.
The original plan was for a 9/11 investigation style committee with a timeline. The goal to get that investigation ended by the end of this year to overcome that argument that it could interfere with the midterm elections next year. That got rejected, ultimately couldn't end up passing, getting enough votes in the Senate. I don't know. It's been a moving target so long. Are we going to end up with any kind of investigation here?
I'm sure there will be an investigation. She's not going to throw in the towel and disband this committee, but it's definitely changing in terms of being way less bipartisan than people even thought with this committee. And so Democrats feel like Republicans negotiated in bad faith because they basically gave in to everything that Congressman John Katko, Republican of New York, who was tasked by McCarthy for negotiating the commission in the first place, Democrats gave into whatever he wanted, and they still rejected this commission. And so now it's kind of a tit for tat. But I think it's a lot of people think it's important to find out what else is there that has not been reported. It's almost like hiring investigative reporters to dig into something, because there's a lot we don't know about. What happened on January 6th? Why was the National Guard why did it take so long for them to be sent to the Hill? Why were warnings of an attack ignored by relevant security agencies? And so we just don't know the full answers to that just yet. And so that's the benefit of this type of committee.
Talking to Daniel Lipman, who covers the White House in Washington for Politico, looking at some of the top stories in national politics. You could join in at 800-642-1234. What, if anything, do you want to see come out of an investigation into January 6th? Do you think Congress, do you think the House should be doing this? Do you wish there was a full bipartisan committee? There's been some back and forth, quick, almost whiplash-inducing changes just today on this. What do you want to know that we don't know now? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. We heard from John from Colfax, who says he thinks it's simple. He called in, couldn't stay on the line. He says former President Trump's denial of the election results and calling of the rally led to the Capitol riot. John says the former president clearly responsible. Is that a part of the agenda, looking at the former president's role in the lead up and the calling of the demonstration and beyond, Daniel?
I think that's would be a natural topic for the committee to explore, because while few people would have thought that Trump wanted them to storm the Capitol, he didn't think that was probably frankly possible. He thought, as everyone thought, that the security would be enough. Clearly he played a role in instigating this to happen in the first place, because without his calls for a rally, without him saying this will be wild, I don't think Trump supporters would have come out in full force to storm the Capitol. And so in an ill-fated attempt to overturn the election. And so I think his conduct and his passivity on the actual day in the afternoon of trying to, get people to leave. It took them a while to actually persuade him to call off his supporters. That is a natural topic for them to look at.
Now, turning to the current president, you cover the White House. Is President Biden talking about these hearings at all, these committees, or is he staying out of it, at least publicly?
He hasn't talked too much about it because he's leaving Congress to do their thing. And so, they're, of course, keeping tabs on it. And I'm sure they would hope that there's a bipartisan commission or a committee. But he has his own issues that he's pushing for in terms of infrastructure, in terms of voting rights. And so this is less relevant to his agenda.
We're talking to Daniel Lipman. He covers the White House in Washington for Politico, and he's with us today for our weekly look at the top stories in Washington. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you want to see this investigation go ahead? What do you want it to look at? Also coming up, we'll look at the Republican field in a presidential race. I know it's a long way away, but there's still a lot of people pushing for position. If you're a Republican voter, who do you want to see run? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We're picking up our look at the top stories in national politics. Daniel Lipman is with us from Politico. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Coming up, the Republican political field. Presidential field. Who do you want to see in it? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Let's go to another caller, though, on the January 6th investigation. John is with us in northern Minnesota. John, hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. What do you think, John?
Well, I just read a book, and I believe the title was The Trial of Adolf Hitler, and it was a beer hall push back in early 30s, late 20s, whatever it was, and this is the same thing all over again. It needs to be gotten to the bottom of, from top to bottom, starting with the guys with the clubs and assaulting the officers all the way up the ladder and right through to some of these people that have been suggested as Republicans to serve on this committee. Should all be subpoenaed. The president should be subpoenaed, and it should all be on TV for us to watch.
John, thanks a lot for the call. Daniel, have we started to see subpoenas being issued by this committee, or do we know who they're going to be talking to?
We have not seen subpoenas being issued yet because the committee has not started its work. And so I think that would be, they would probably want to subpoena Trump, the subpoena Mark Meadows, subpoena the legal counsel, Pat Cipollone, Bill Barr, everyone, or not probably not Bill Barr, but Jeffrey Rosen, anyone who was in a position of power and authority on January 6th in the Trump administration who had equities in this situation, they will want to hear from.
Thanks a lot for that call. Well, moving on to some of the other topics we're looking to talk about today, Daniel, 2024 presidential campaign, like I said earlier, it's still early, but a lot of Republicans looking to maybe run, having the possibility of Donald Trump running over their shoulder. Some attention to Vice President Mike Pence getting out into public more lately. What are we seeing and how does he fit into this mix?
So he is finding a tough time in the early going because he doesn't seem to have a natural base in terms of supporters. He pissed off the Trump people with his certification of the election on January 6th. He also is not, you know, he's pretty conservative, and so he's not going to get the moderate Republican voters. And so he is polling pretty low, and most people don't expect him to be the nominee in 2024 for Republicans. He is not also a very dynamic speaker, and so that hurts his chances because when Americans pick a president or a nominee, they want someone who is pretty, you know, who has good charisma and has a good stage presence, and he is a little wooden sometimes in his speaking style.
And he was picked as a running mate. I think a lot of the conventional wisdom anyway, the idea was, okay, we got Mike Pence. Hey, Republican, evangelical, white evangelical voters, you may not be sure about this Donald Trump guy, but hey, one of you is in the driver's seat here as a running mate. Does he not have that as a natural constituency now?
Well, it is to some extent, but it's not enough because the Republican Party is more populist these days. It's the Trump party. And so if Trump ran, then a lot of the Republicans wouldn't even run because they know that there is no shot that they would actually win. And so Trump wants to keep his name in the news to be considered to be a candidate and to kind of freeze the, you know, the list of candidates that are out there and to continue raising money and be relevant. But you know, Mike Pence is not, he doesn't have that natural base anymore.
And who else are you watching for as they try to look like they're running without looking too much like they're running for fear of invoking the wrath of the former president?
Well, I think the number one candidate, if Trump doesn't run, and even if he does run, he might still get a challenge, is Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida. He's very popular. And, you know, he is viewed as, you know, he's a smart guy. You know, went to some good colleges and has done a good job as governor of Florida. You know, he's top of the list. People like Kristi Noem, governor of South Dakota, Nikki Haley, Mike Pompeo. These are all serious candidates or potential candidates. And so it's a long ways off, but believe me, those people are working every day and thinking about how to maneuver their potential candidacies once 2022 is basically done.
Talking to Daniel Lipman from Politico, looking at some of the top stories this week in national politics. Well, a perennial topic, Daniel, infrastructure. We had a vote now on this bipartisan negotiated deal in the Senate, fell short to advance it. Chuck Schumer ended up voting against it for a procedural reason. It all gets kind of complicated, but what does this mean now? Is there still a deal maybe in the works?
Yeah, the deal is not off yet. They're trying to finish the last remaining details of this deal before they can, before it's ready for prime time. And so I think Biden and the White House feel pretty good that they can get this thing through. I think this Schumer vote on Wednesday is a pressure tactic to try to wrap up these negotiations. They're just kind of nailing down the final text. But I think it's a pretty sure bet that there will be that this will be a bipartisan deal in the next week or two.
And we've been talking about this for a long time, and it always seems like something's around the corner. Does it really? Are you really pretty sure that it's around the corner this time?
I think that is the smart money in D.C. that, you know, senators, the August recess is coming up. They want to kind of get something done by then. At least the Republicans who are interested in the deal. And so they don't want to drag this out forever. They want to get on there, enjoy their vacations too, without thinking about infrastructure.
Let's go back to our callers at 800-642-1234 on our opening topic today on the investigation of the January 6th insurrection. Tahire is with us on Madeline Island. Tahire, hi.
Yes, hello. Thank you for taking my call. I just find it interesting, the discourse between the two of you, especially Mr. Lipman, who has using very passive language toward the insurrection, you know, calling them rioters, saying how Nancy Pelosi feels about it, as opposed to using language, you know, to hold people accountable. The way that I'm sure that she's trying to do it is, if people are already, if lawmakers are already of the mindset that Trump won the election, that the insurrection, that the treasonous riot that was very violent was, in fact, just, you know, a love fest. Of course, why would she want people like that on her committee? So I just feel like his style is very laid back. And it isn't really useful for what people actually need. And it all feeds into white dominance, white supremacy, and anti-Black racism that we have yet to address in this country, and that the white media has a stranglehold on it. And even though you're liberal white media, it's the other side. It's the same side of the same coin.
So here, thanks for calling in. So the choice of language she's concerned about, Daniel, and how we talk about the insurrection, how strong the language is, and kind of and people worried about both sides' language where it might not be appropriate. What do you think?
No, it's an interesting point, and I appreciate the call. I don't think using the word rioters is diminishing what happened on January 6th. I was actually there covering it. And so, you know, I kind of saw it wasn't in the Capitol, but, you know, a block or two away. And so I'll never forget my memories of being there. But I don't think, you know, I kind of reject the premise that it's, you know, being passive about this is, you know, was kind of my style. I think it's what Pelosi is trying to do is say that, you know, this is unacceptable to have people who rejected the election result on this panel. And so I think I'm kind of describing, I'm analyzing what she thinks about the issue. I'm not trying to diminish what happened, and I'm not trying to contribute to any, you know, harmful rhetoric.
Thanks for the call. And Daniel, I should ask, do we have a sense of a timeline now on when this committee is actually going to swing into action, whoever ends up being on it?
I think it's probably going to start in the next few weeks because, you know, I think they want to, time is of the essence because it's not, no one benefits by this being dragged out forever. And so Democrats don't want to be accused of relitigating stuff that is not, you know, that is too old. And so it's already almost August. And so you kind of want it while people's memories are fresh to get their full recall of the day's events.
And in just our last minute, Daniel, what other story do you have your eye on in the week to come?
I guess, you know, one other story that I'm looking at is, you know, voting rights and where Democrats can take, you know, H.R. 1, which does not seem to be going anywhere. And, you know, there's a lot of consternation among Democrats that they've lost this opportunity to actually push this issue and that they're going to be focused on the infrastructure more when, in fact, voting rights is, you know, such a big issue and that if those Republican bills in those state legislatures are not fought against, that it will be very hard for Democrats to get, you know, the presidency again or get a majority in the House and the Senate because their voters will be disenfranchised.
Daniel, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
That's Daniel Lipman. He covers the White House in Washington at Politico. He was with us today for our weekly look at the top stories in national politics. Coming up after the news, after more than a year of virtual work for many employees, some employers and workers are rethinking how we do our jobs and what's most effective. You can let us know if your job, the way you do it, the place you do it, has changed maybe for the long run. Head over to the Ideas Network Facebook page and share your story. I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network.